Let me start with the one we left off with, which was Tina Rash. As you said, if you were looking for a classic case of somebody who was exposed to something that nobody could explain, it would be her.
Absolutely. Tina Rash is the prime example of someone who ostensibly had experiences with the paranormal from the time she was very young. Was completely misunderstood, and tragic circumstances resulted from it. Tina Rush was a foster child. She was put into foster care when she was an infant. She was put into a foster home with the parents who eventually adopted her. And people.
This is what in the 60s, right? Late 60s, early 70s.
This is in the early 1980s.
Okay.
That the phenomena actually came.
Oh, okay.
To light.
But she was born in 70, was it? 69?
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. It was 1984 when the case was finally made public. And she had troubles, you know, all through school when she was young. She was actually taken out of school. And researchers thought later on that she probably was manifesting some sort of telekinetic abilities, even as a young child in school, because she would be blamed for throwing things and that sort of stuff that she would deny. And she was eventually taken out of school because she was constantly terrorized by the other children. And so she went to live at home, and she was homeschooled, and she helped her parents take care of the other foster children in the home. And things started to happen when she was an adolescent where there was malfunctioning of the refrigerator and the television, the microwave oven, and other sorts of bizarre phenomena started to occur as well, including there was one incident when eggs that were stored in the family's refrigerator actually shot through the closed refrigerator door and broke on the kitchen floor. This really alerted the parents to the fact that there was really something strange going on here. There was a famous photograph that was taken. The press were called, they came to the house, and there's a famous photograph that was taken by Fred Shannon from the Columbus Dispatch. This all occurred in Columbus, Ohio. And he had taken an incredible photograph when he visited the house of Tina sitting in a chair in the living room, and the phone that was on the table next to her actually shot across her body and landed on the floor next to her. During the same visit, other things happened, including an afghan that was on the chair or the sofa lifted itself up and covered Tina's entire body. So you can imagine the media attention that came to this case, and it also caught the attention of William Rohl, the great parapsychologist, and he visited the home in the spring of 1994. He had come to the case through the Ryan Research Center. And he spent a lot of time at the family's house investigating the case and went on to actually write an entire book about the case called Unleashed that was published in 2004, 20 years after the event started. Tina eventually was caught, creating phenomena, as it is often the case in poltergeist cases.
Well, stop right here. So you say she was eventually caught. How much later was she caught creating phenomenon, and what was it that she had done in the meantime? Feeling like she'd become addicted to the fame, people wanting to see her do these sorts of things, so she started to create them?
Yeah, she had talked about the fact that she created phenomena eventually, or created activity eventually, because she was sick of people expecting it to happen. And so she started to do it to satisfy the demand for it, which is something that we've heard many, many times in these sorts of cases, that the poltergeist agent or the person that's believed to be the source of the phenomena, it maybe tapers off, or they can't produce it on demand as much as people would like to see it when people are looking for it. So they start to produce it on their own fraudulently. And so she went on record saying that she started to produce it because she was trying to please the people that were looking for it.
But even at the, so we're clear, that was even at the time, I mean, like right about the same time that she, this famous photograph was taken, she was faking other things, even while they say that that one that was, that the famous Fred Shannon shot, that was real, the family maintains, but then they recognized that she was caught on camera faking other things.
Phenomena, yes.
Okay.
And that's one of the things that makes all of this stuff so difficult, especially these poltergeist cases, because often you have an adolescent that is trying to please people that are looking for the phenomena to happen. There may be some genuine phenomena going on, and so it all becomes very convoluted. And it's also great, you know, great ammunition for skeptics that want to disprove that anything happened at all. So, and Tina's a great case of that.
Well, I think she's a great case of somebody who, if you'll pardon me, in many respects, discredits herself, not just because of that incident, but later on, she's convicted of murder.
Absolutely.
And I don't remember all the circumstances, but I remember the Unsolved Mysteries episode. So what was it? She had, it was a murder of her own child?
It was her own child. She, when she was 16 years old, this was 2 years after the phenomena came to light and really the beginning of the big events in the case. She was 16 years old and Tina's parents, adoptive parents, told her that she would have to leave the house. She was no longer welcome to live with them. And they said that it was because of the bad publicity that she had brought to their family and that they didn't want anything to do with her anymore. So her options at 16 years old were to either go and live with or marry her boyfriend of the time. She had no means to support herself, or to go and live in a juvenile detention center. So she ran away, and she said she was eloping with her boyfriend. She did not get married. She actually ended up going through a string of other boyfriends. She became pregnant through one of them. They were all abusive. And she ended up going to actually live with William Roll and his wife for a while. And
he being the parapsychologist.
Exactly.
Right.
And she was taking some computer courses in school and seemed to be getting her life together. And then she met David Heron. And she ended up kind of moving in with him and trying to make a life with him. And she had this little girl, Amber. She was 3 years old at the time that she was found dead in her crib. Now, at the time that the child was found dead, Tina was at the home of a friend who ironically was helping her to write a book about her experiences as an adolescent with the poltergeist experiences. The boyfriend, David Heron, was taking care of the child at home, and it was later discovered that Amber had been sodomized. Tina was given a polygraph test, which she passed with flying colors. Nonetheless, Tina was arrested. She was put in jail. And she accepted a plea bargain in 1994 because she was afraid she might get capital punishment for the murder of her daughter.
That's always seemed kind of weird to me, that she passed a polygraph and she wasn't there, but she accepted a plea bargain. And I think she must have either gotten terrible legal advice, or there was something about that situation which she knew more about than the rest of us did. And I only say that because she kind of had a history of sleight of hand a little bit, of trying to kind of manipulate people and manipulate the media one way or another, regardless of whether those first experiences she had, those telekinetic experiences, were originally true. Later on, it seemed like she was using her mind, if you will, to try to move the media, to try to move the world around to be to her liking. And why would she agree to something that she didn't do and accept a 20-year prison sentence?
Yeah, actually, it was life plus 20 years in prison.
Oh,
she's
okay,
still in prison
enough
today, and probably likely always will be. You know, advocates of Tina think that she accepted the plea bargain because she was used to being blamed for things, that she was used to being disbelieved because of the experiences that she had had as an adolescent.